Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hello and welcome to Bad With Money, a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. I'm your host, Gabe S. Dunn. And today we have someone you guys probably know. Marilyn, do you want to explain who you are and what you do?
Oh, boy. My name's Marilyn Ricecove. I am an actress professionally. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm a writer. And I've been on a lot of TV shows and movies you may know.
And okay, so you wrote a book called Fame-ish, and in it you talk a lot about like money stuff, which I think comes with the territory of being, I've known, like, you would know me, but you're not at, you know, I don't know, Jennifer Lawrence levels or whatever. So can you explain like what you wanted like to convey, in the sense of like, I think what people get wrong about actors?
Well, first, I am Jennifer Lawrence level in my heart. And Jennifer Lawrence age and looks, and fighting my own personal hunger games daily. Aren't we all?
I agree with that.
And when times are low, feel free to dig into your inner Jennifer Lawrence. It is helpful. Maybe not the outer. That's my manifestation, is my inner Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, that was a great intro question, because it got me right into the headspace of that. So thank you for that. In my stand-up, I've done stand-up on the road for a long time. And when I first started, people were buying tickets because I was on a show that was on the air. Mind you, this show was a drama. Mm-hmm. But when I first started on the road, this can be long-winded, but I think it's interesting, a little bit of backstory. My show was sold out. But people were coming because they knew me from a show called 24, where I played a computer genius who was saving the world from a terrorist attack. So the people that were opening for me, the other comics, were like, oh, sold out. And then they would come off stage and go, that was weird, because people were just wanting to see the lady from the drama. And my stand-up was very self-deprecating and personal. So it was this weird, first of all, I had to learn how to be the star that they were looking at of the show that they loved. And then cut to 10 years later, my ticket sales are less, my stand-up is better, and I've started to talk, instead of being like representing this character on TV, I've now started to talk about, you may recognize me from this, first of all, it's a drama, I'm doing stand-up comedy, surprise. And then I'll use the anecdote here that I use on stage, which is true. A guy at the airport saw me flying coach and he said, Chloe, which is my character name from the show, iconic, I've made it. I mean, a little rude, but, you know, so he calls me by my character name and he said, why are you flying coach? Aren't you set for life? And so I use this example to the audience to say, first of all, that's rude. Second of all, I know there's at least one of you in this room that's going, well, aren't you? And then I explain, did I make a lot of money on the show? Yes, I did. It was a lot of money, and I spent that money, is how that went down. And it was a lot of money for me because I'm a woman, and it's a lot of money for me because I'm from Trenton, Michigan. I'm from a place, and the expectations of me, a very working class background. I really was successful as an actor, and I was able to do a lot of stuff and be in a different position and make a lot of money. But my point comedically is that the audience thinks, oh, she's, you know, she's got it made, just like this guy in the airport did. And it's like, well, I do and I don't. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I really wasn't paid that much by Hollywood standards. And then I didn't know how to manage money or have money. I wasn't ever, that wasn't ever anything I thought that I could do. Mm-hmm. So I spent it. So those two things of being somebody relatively, the way I say it on stage is, and which I also think is true, is that I just want to show up and do a good job. And so that, so, you know, I'm painting a complicated picture, but it's, I say Hollywood saw a mark. They lowballed mm-hmm. me, and I'm a woman, and I was relatively unknown. So was I incredibly lucky and so, you know, proud to be able to, you know, what a magical career to be able mm-hmm. to pretend to do things you can't really do for money. And people see me next to the main character. I'm very proud of myself. So mm-hmm. it's an incredible point in my life, but you know, now this many years out, I'm not on a red carpet. I'm not representing the show. And I'm going, mm-hmm. hey, it wasn't really that. Mm-hmm. And it also was a time, and then we can talk about this now because the strike made a lot of waves in the, maybe not in the world. A lot of cities I go to for stand-up could give an F about the actor's strike. But it sort of brought to light I did not receive residuals. So even in the business, people will look at me and go, you were on this show for 8 years that won a bunch of awards. And I'm going, I need to work.
Yeah.
I was paid as like a guest star. And then they're like, we could kill you. You can't negotiate for any more. You will not make any back end. So all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, 10 years later, and I'm known for that show, but I have nothing to show for it. Yeah. I'm like, I became that person of like, I'm famous. You know me from this. Some of you know me from this, but I spent that money a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm here at the comedy club and you guys still want to hear about this thing, you know? So that's like sort of chapter one.
The people that have been listening to this show are like shaking probably, or like snapping for what you're saying, because that was my journey as well. I mean, I came to LA, I got swooped up by BuzzFeed Video, which was huge at the time. And so it was those videos that were getting like millions and millions of views. All of us became like rock stars. There was like a group of us that just like became probably for the internet, like the original SNL cast. Like it was like huge. And then—
And forgive me, I don't know any of your backstory.
That's okay.
I'm coming on here totally cold. And I'm sorry if you've said it a million times, but I would love to hear it.
No, that's okay. It's relatable to what you're saying. So I'm 25 when that happens. And that was about 10 years ago. And you have this huge fan base and largely they follow you, but they also are like the amount of emails that are like, you changed my life on BuzzFeed. I knew you from BuzzFeed. Like still to this day, people, grown adults are like, I watched you in middle school. And I'm like, holy shit. Like,
wow. So you're just like, you're like, I see your story and I'll raise you by the fact that I was young.
No.
I'm saying you were young. You were on the internet, which is way more, and you're representing yourself. Which yeah, at least weird. I was part of a show that I'm like, well, that's not me. You know, that's I'm part of this bigger thing. Like people are looking to you, and that's a lot of responsibility for people that don't know what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, you're playing a character that was your own name. So it was definitely weird. and like it was also kind of they played with, is this true? Is this not true? Is this real? Right. Is this not real? And so like you know, there were people on BuzzFeed who they had like a girlfriend in the show of BuzzFeed, but then they had a real girlfriend at home. But if the fans found out they had an actual girlfriend that wasn't their BuzzFeed girlfriend, it was going to be a huge fucking problem. So it was like really wild. Wow. And then a lot of those people, all of us ended up gay. So it was like, you know, nobody was dating. Anyway, it was wild.
To cap it all off, how did you get involved in that in the first place, if you don't mind me asking?
I had been a writer on the internet. I was a journalist. I went to school for journalism. And then I became a writer on the internet. So I started working for these like blogs in New York, and I would write about my life. And then that got very popular. And then I came to LA to because I wanted to work in television. I wanted to write television, but I was self-taught. So I went on my blog that I had that was popular, and I was like, hey, I'm like 24. I'm like, hey, I wrote a script. I don't know if anybody would care, but if anyone who reads this blog would be interested in reading my script, I have a script I wrote. And then two people did. One was an agent at Gersh, and one was a guy who worked for Nickelodeon who were like readers of my blog. And so they both emailed me and were like, we'll read your script. It was not a good script. And I was like, okay. And I sent it to them. And then the guy at Gersh was like a agent for like theater people. But he was like, I'll rep you, but I have never repped anyone who was a TV writer before. And I was like, sure, whatever. And so I moved out to LA with him.
Wow.
Yeah, as my agent who like, he just was like, I like you, but he didn't really have any like anything to do with that.
And, did he help you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And then the guy from Nickelodeon let me write for like an internet sketch show for kids for them and like hired me to do that. And I was like, okay. And then I was just like in LA. And then like within like a month, I had met a couple people who also knew my blog who worked at BuzzFeed. And they were like, come be on BuzzFeed Video. We'll do like a 6-week trial.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. So I had never heard of BuzzFeed Video, but wow. I was like, sure. And then I had met a girl doing stand-up. This is my like comedy partner to this day. She's very goody two shoes, or she was at the time. And they were doing a whiskey taste test, and they needed someone who had never had whiskey before in their life, which was like they could not find anyone. And I was like, I bet you that this girl that I just met, who's like literally a doll, I bet she's never had whiskey. So I asked her, and she was like, yeah, I've never had whiskey before. And I was like, I found one. And then she came in to do that video. And then they liked us together, and they had us start making videos, like best friend videos, even though we had just met. And so they had us making all these videos where we were like BFFs.
Amazing.
And then the internet was just like, they're best friends. We love these best friends. And then like, we still do a podcast together to this day, but we were not best friends when we started making these videos.
Wow.
So yeah. Then it became this thing where it was like, oh my God, our favorite duo. And we were like, are we a duo? Like what's happening? Just blew up.
This is fascinating to me because I am from a totally other generation, and I don't often get to talk to people who've had that journey of like,
it's weird.
Behind the curtain of the internet stuff where, you know, I do stand-up comedy, and even a lot of the podcasts I do are comics who are in control of their own thing. It's really interesting to hear how, you know, talented you were and going with the flow, but like, okay, cool. And it was great, but there were aspects to it that were maybe not so great.
Well,
just that was how you learned. You learned kind of like trial by fire.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about 24 and licensing, because one of the big things that happened was for BuzzFeed was I was 25 working there, and I was one of the oldest people. A lot of the people were like 21, 22. They were just coming out of college. I had had jobs before, so I knew our contracts were bad, but nobody else knew that. And so I would kind of be like, these contracts are bad. And everyone would be like, yeah, but what are you going to do?
And, right.
And the girl that I was working with, her father was a lawyer, and he told us the contracts were bad, and we knew that. And they, like, nobody was really listening to us. And so we were just like, I don't know, I guess we'll just sign it and figure it out later. And then now to this day, and it's also this fraught thing because I transitioned, they own my image. So like they continue to use videos of me on their Snapchat, on their, they own it. They could use it. They own like my Facebook page with my old
name.
Wait,
you were a different gender when you were doing this?
Yeah. So they,
the plot thickens.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. I don't know if you know, but I'm a business myself, and I have to run everything on my own, and it is very difficult, especially to deliver you a product such as this podcast. Luckily, I have Melissa to help me, and we want to keep all the money that we make. So how do we do that? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit from NetSuite. Everything is so expensive. How do I boost performance? How do I pay everyone? How do I cut costs? Here you go. You want inventory? You want financial systems in the cloud? You got it, baby. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy. Like, think about how much you have to do in order to hire someone and how much you have to gather, plus scheduling, plus messaging. Like, if I was looking to hire someone, I would feel that it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish that I could use Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I have been using Mint to manage my finances, but bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarch.com/badmoney. It is very stressful, confusing, and time-consuming to manage my finances. I try all the apps, as you guys know, and I've just been like flighty with them. They've never stuck. But now I have Monarch, and it is easy to use. It has powerful features like collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, product improvements. It's just been really helpful to see everything laid out and especially be able to collaborate if I want to. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot here. Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and reoccurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Of course, I've been frustrated in the past with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads. So was Monarch. So they built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. We never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. So they have all these videos of me that they can just use in perpetuity because I signed over my likeness.
And do they use them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but my fans, they're very cute. The fans will like, let me know. They'll be like, they just used you on their Snapchat. Should we do anything? And I'm like, it's okay, guys. But yeah, so it's very weird. And so I was thinking about when I was talking about like thinking about having you on the show, I was like, I know for a fact that there are like 24 pinball machines and like 24, like all this kind of stuff. So like, did you have any idea of like the licensing or when you were signing stuff that you would just be able to see like lunchboxes with your face without having any sort of control or monetary idea about it?
You know, I did know that I signed that away. I do joke about that on stage as well. The negotiation I remember more clearly is the one where my lawyers and reps, that you know, they were pushing for more money at the end of the contract because my character kept getting bigger and bigger. And the show or the powers that be were like, we can't give you any more money. We don't have any more money in our budget. And she cannot get residuals. They found something in the language of the SAG at the time because, what was the, they said because the show is serialized, meaning one episode has to follow another. Now on TV, that's the most popular form of narrative storytelling is you do an arc of 8 episodes and people sit and watch the 8 episodes. But at the time, their logic in syndicating shows the old-fashioned way was that it has to be a standalone show. It has to be something like Friends. Like Friends is one of the most famous things where, you know, where they negotiated and got the power back. They were able to use their popularity. But for me, I had this like bump up in the world where I was this popular character, but I had no power. They would just kind of lord it over me that we could kill you. And they knew, you know, it's kind of, that's what's used in a lot of the actor's strike stuff too. You'll hear actors on the picket line going, we want to work. Mm-hmm. We love to work. And they bank on that. They bank on the artist going, you know, kind of how you're describing this attitude of like, yeah, we know it's bad, but we love doing this. It like gives us joy and it's enough to live off of. So who am I to complain? So in my negotiation, they're like, this does not sell traditionally into syndication. I mean, I'm butchering the, please don't quote me legally, but they're saying because the show is serialized, you have to watch one after another. We can't sell it off into chunks. Meanwhile, they're still selling it worldwide.
Yeah.
The show is still selling. And so that was just what they said at the time to get out of paying anything, you know, and that's a weird thing to talk about. Cause that's one of the things like during the strike where, people would comment, why should you get paid after? But it's like, you have to think about, like you're saying, my face and my voice is being played over and over again. And the people that make the back end, they're not seen. They just go live their life and collect a check.
Yeah.
Now we are not I'm being dramatic, but just to follow my phrasing, it's like we can't live our life and we don't see any. Mm-hmm. We are still associated with that. Mm-hmm. And we're part of what's making these clips, what's making this show live. Mm-hmm. But yet the smarter people who are in control of the pocketbooks and sort of the structure of it and the creation of it are just like, yeah, go be the face of this while we collect money. And so then there was one point where I signed my likeness away in perpetuity and I, I don't remember much about this except the pinball machine. I think there was a video game and they're like, well, everybody else is giving their voice for this amount of money. And if you don't do it, they'll just replace your voice anyway. So don't you want it to be at least be your voice representing your character? And I was like, okay. So that was like, you know, whatever it was, like $400 to be like, oof, ow, watch out, Jack, or whatever. And then the pinball machine, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, was something I didn't know what was happening. And I really did walk into, or maybe I knew it existed and kind of was like, whatever. But I walked into a bowling alley and saw a pinball machine with my face on the side of it, hair blowing in the wind. No, 24 extra points if the ball goes in my mouth. And I'm like, well, I signed that likeness away. So
yeah,
it's amazing, but also doesn't feel that cool when you're just like, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I'm not a part of that. That's not associated with my work, you know, right. At least if you're going to be exploited or choose to exploit yourself, you want to be able to stand behind it. And I think that's the problem with it. It gets so far away from you that it's like, and in your case, you know, that stuff was being presented as real and it was not real. So that's a whole other, you got a lot of plot twists in yours, a lot of.
Okay. So let's, for the average person, what is a residual?
A residual is a small fraction of money that you get paid when they resell the show. And they get a lot of money through advertisers and people that want that property. They're selling the show again.
Mm-hmm.
And you've only gotten paid for the original performance.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, if that was a live performance, you'd be, well, I just did 300 shows this week across different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And hope you enjoyed it. And someone else is collecting all of those monies. So it's a fair way to go. Here's a, and it's still only a fraction.
Yeah.
And in some cases, in the case of me and others who have been in this situation, they're like, yeah, you're not even going to get that fraction. The people, the creators and the corporations and the producers that get that back end, they're still making way more money. So,
right.
You know, when it trickles down, it still is only a piece of it, which is more than fair.
They wouldn't be able to do it without you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is that I think people understand like unions in anything other than acting because they don't understand that acting's a job or that, you know, oftentimes when people are like, oh, is acting that important? I'm like, I don't know. When you're deeply depressed, what are you watching? Like when you're talking to your parents, what are you watching? Like, you know, it's this thing where I think that they don't understand the importance of the people and they have this idea that you are all rolling in luxury.
Right.
When like, think about
the job.
And this was the problem with BuzzFeed too, is that they were like, well, you're getting so famous. And I'm like, yes, but
and?
behind me. And truthfully, insidiously, the BuzzFeed was seen as a very liberal company. So all the people in the forefront, it was like queer people, people of color, like all these types of people were like the faces of it. And then the guys making all the money behind the scenes are these cis straight white guys behind us who are making all this money off of these young queer and POC people doing these little videos. And so like there is this idea where you're working and this big boss is making way more money than you, millions and millions of dollars. And you're not, I mean, the audience couldn't understand who actually worked there and who didn't. So there were girls that were in so many videos because it was like, would help their career. But again, we were under like non-compete clauses. So we couldn't even really make that much use of it. But in that way, but they weren't hired. So they were just freelance. So they were making even less on these videos that would have millions and millions and millions of views. And so I think that they're not understanding like the money is not going directly to you at all.
People are understanding it with something like Spotify, the music industry, where it's like, and you know, and things just continue. And we, you know, we all are streaming our music and it's like, wait, what's happening? Like, what happened to the music industry? Okay, so now artists just do it for fun and they make more money. Like, how are they make no money? How can we get a handle on it?
I mean, that's why we strike. That's why, because it's like you're not able to make a living the same way. And it's not as if like inflation and all this stuff hasn't gone up. And I think, you know, I follow a lot of accounts on Instagram that are like, auditions are work, or like, you know, these things are work. And I think people go into work at their job. And if you're there 9 to 5, you're going to get paid 9 to 5. But right. I have actor friends who are like, I'm sorry, I just got an 11-page script that I have to learn for tomorrow, and I have to put myself on tape for it, and I'll probably not get it. And right. You don't get any money for that.
Yeah, that blew my mind. Again, I'm from another generation, and it blew my mind in a good way when part of the PSAG demands were, I'm so bad with money and knowing my own contract that was negotiated, but how did they word it? Yeah, they limited the number of pages.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is so specific to being an actor, which again, people don't think about. That's a crap load of stuff for a normal, just drop everything and learn this monologue.
Yep.
Like, that's insane for something that, I mean, I'm assuming that they watch them, but for something that is so fickle, and it's, you know, for them to sit and go, no, like they might not even watch the tape the whole way through. That's the reality. And it's like, and there's so many actors that will be completely off book for stuff. And that really takes a toll.
Yeah. And also they're not going to cast it the next day. Like, it's not like, oh my God, we have 24-hour turnaround. It's like, for why? For who?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting too, because there's this whole conversation around Nepo babies. We don't want Nepo babies. We're annoyed about Nepo babies. And it's like, well, that's who you're going to get, because nobody else can afford to do any of this. And one of the big things that broke me was, after I left BuzzFeed, I wrote an article for Fusion, which doesn't exist anymore. But I wrote a piece called Get Rich or Die Vlogging. And it was about, I interviewed a bunch of people who were famous YouTubers outside of BuzzFeed, who were famous YouTubers who were like, I have a day job, but I don't tell anyone about it because I don't want to look like, because I don't want to look like I'm not successful. So they would like, you know, and so it was about how YouTube wasn't paying. They were blocking certain content. They still aren't that great about LGBTQ content. And like this idea that, you know, even if you have X amount of followers, it's not like translating to money in any way. And so that article kind of, it seems obvious now, but at the time it was like 2016 when that came out, and people were like shocked. It was like an expose. People were like shocked.
Right.
And like, I think that that's similar with actors, where they're like, oh, why would you have a day job? Like, I remember with the Sprouse twins, before they started acting again, between their childhood and fame and when they started acting again, like maybe got Riverdale or something, they were working at a restaurant. One of them was working at a restaurant, and it like went on TMZ, like, Sprouse sibling working at restaurant, like, can you believe? And it's like, well, what if you made a bunch of money when you were a kid? You still have to live life after that.
Life continues.
Yeah. Like, it's, so it was this thing where it was about these kids who were very famous on YouTube, but they were working day jobs, and then they would have trouble with their day jobs because people would stop them for photos, or people would be like wanting to talk to them.
Right. That's just what I was thinking. Like, I'll have people say to me, oh, I know you don't want to talk about, it's not that I don't want to talk about it, or that I'm not proud of it or thankful or happy that I was on it. It's that can't, you have to understand, like, that money's gone. I'm a completely different person. And that's a part of it, but that's hard because you don't want to sound not grateful isn't the best word. You don't want to sound like it doesn't matter, or that people having that impression is a wonderful thing. That means they're affected by you, or it can be. Sometimes it's just there you are. Sometimes it can be not that meaningful too, but it's a weird thing.
Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. Oh my gosh. Budgeting is wild. I am trying to make progress every day. I am, as you guys know, like deeply into rebuilding my finances. It is very hard to keep motivated, but I am constantly looking at the numbers, constantly like looking at ways to cut stuff. And I'm looking for new ways to save. And when I do, I can find my financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I have constantly had to deal with overdraft fees my entire life. When I first learned what they were upon getting my first bank account, it was a very rude awakening. I also learned about something when I was writing my book, where a lot of banks take out money from your account in the order that makes you have overdraft fees, which is so unfair. But Chime allows you an overdraft of up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps you make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 60,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit. Set up direct deposit into your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I think part of it too is with TV and with the internet, with any art form really, to you that was 10 years ago. To them, they saw you yesterday. And so it's like kind of, you know, impossible to put a timeline on when someone saw something and when they want to like talk to me about it. And so I do appreciate it. You're reaching so many people. Of course, you're going to rub some people the wrong way. Like, it's just right. Going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. Forgive me. Now I'm having a moment of like, I did not do my research.
No. You're fine. You are,
because this is like really fascinating to me. And that you're living with like you, like another version of you. That's you. But you're going, I just.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, but also like, but again, like you're, I think it's a different, I find you fascinating because you're in so many different roles. Like you're like a, you know, they're like, I'm sure in scripts everywhere, they're like a Marilyn Rice cab part, you know? And then it's like, well, yeah. And then you're in all of these things and people, you're like, I don't know what people know me from. I have no idea what they're stopping me to talk about. Like, did I do that? I don't know if I did. Cause like, you've been working for so long.
Yeah. You're and like, then I'll deliberately put myself in front of an audience. I remember there was one drunk lady, and the audience, mostly people did know me. They bought a ticket, and there was one woman who was like, stop talking about your credits. And I was like, oh, like horrified, because I have what I believe to be material and fun ways of trying to connect with people through the thing that they know me from. Because if I don't mention that thing and I do an hour of stand up and they're like, well, you didn't talk about blah, blah, blah.
You didn't play the hits. You didn't play the hits.
If I sense that they're excited about that, I would rather not talk about it in a way. I'm like, well, that's not my comedic material. And I'm wondering, you seem like you have that like complicated, because you're a writer and you think about things, but you're like, but you're reacting to this thing that I said one time, and I have all this other stuff that I want to talk about and that I want to do. And I'm a well-rounded person, and I'm working hard to do it. In my case, I flew to a city to come see you. And again, like by and large, it's people who are excited, and I say my thing, and then I'm able to, you know, that's part of the craft of it too. I'm able to go on and do the material that I want to do after I go like, yeah, thank you. It's so cool. But yeah, sometimes you get the one lady who's like, what are you talking about that for? And so I have that too, of people that are just coming in and have no idea.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, winning them over on that like comedic level, which is really gratifying. So I do love it, but it's a very odd.
Yeah. It's not about you, I don't think. And like, you know, I love the people that have known of my work this whole time. And like, I've started to now feel it's very cool to know that someone watched me when they were 12. But I often am like, what was I saying? Where were your parents? So like, when you were talking about your childhood and stuff, like I have a similar thing of like how I grew up and how, you know, I feel a lot of, I have to get over it, but I feel a lot of resentment for people whose parents were like, open a bank account, or like, why don't you invest this money up top or whatever. So can you talk about like the chapter two, let's say, of the book, which is like, you know, okay, this is what I was coming from. This is what I thought you did with money. This is what I did with money.
You know, it's funny, because I was just thinking yesterday, speaking from the, I'm now at the very end of it, so I'll go backwards, which was, I'm glad I had the experience of, I can't even believe I'm going to say this now, buying a $6,000. This whole time I'm like, I didn't make enough money. Meanwhile, yeah, I did make a lot of money, but comparatively to what the show made and what everybody else made and what actors make, it was still enough money to buy a 6,000 square foot house. And now I laugh, because I'm like, oh, I didn't need that. I don't even want that. But at the time, I don't even think, I think I just was like, oh, I wanted to experience everything. And I saw this house and I really thought it would be a good investment. And I was making money at the time. So I bought a house, and honestly, it kind of made me laugh. There were like gold fixtures and tiles of a woman pouring water out of an urn in a steam shower. There was a red clawfoot bathtub. I mean, it was pure materialism on one level, but it was a fantasy of like, well, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I was making enough money that, and it's your faulty thinking, I didn't think I was falling victim to, at the time I thought, well, I'm just going to make this much money or better because I've had this amount of success. And I'll always make around this much of money. Again, was it like millions of dollars? No. Mm-hmm. But was it a lot of money? Yeah, it was enough to be comfortable. You know, and I say that to say, look, grain of salt, I'm very happy with where I'm at. And I'll be really curious to see how you, because when you were talking earlier, it's like, yeah, I keep going, and I find these other facets of how to keep myself going, how to make money, how to be true to myself, how to create. So I'm really thankful, because, you know, I'm still out there. I'm still working. And in some ways, I went back to the stand-up and dug in deep because I wasn't, you know, I remember when I had to like book my own flight, which is hilarious because if you talk to comics, they do everything themselves.
Yep.
And I was coming from this rarefied, you know, 24 was a huge hit. So they would need me to do publicity. And because they needed me to do publicity, their things were taken care of. We're going to fly you. Here's what time. Here's where you show up. And I didn't know, like when I did stand up, I was like, what do you mean? Like, how do I, you know, like so dumb. But so I bought the house and then I just couldn't pay for the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also at the time was not married. So throw that into the, you know, the bundle of like, I didn't have a traditional, I think I tried to have like many relationships, but I tried to have that, you know, nuclear family and it never really worked out. And at the time I had a friend who was going through a divorce and another friend who was interested in dating me, which I didn't really, I was laughing going, oh, I'm going to buy this big house and start a women's commune. So on all levels, like a friend level, a social experiment, monetarily, it was just a car crash of trial by fire, of learning by having a large monthly, you know, bill to pay. It's like, why did I do that to myself? But now I know what that feels like. Now, guess what? I do not have a desire to have a house bigger than, you know, what I need.
Yeah. I think there's lifestyle creep. There's this idea that now that you, I think when you grow up and you don't have that kind of thing, you're like, well, now I can do it. It's like, you don't want to look like you don't have that compared to like the people you're on the show with.
Sure.
Like you don't, which is like, again, something that I would, anyone listening to this who's like getting money, put it every time I meet someone who's like just starting to get money, I'm like, put it in a high yield savings account, put it, do investments, don't fucking touch it, do a retirement, don't do it. I've been writing
recaps. And you can still enjoy your life. You can still, you know, pick one thing like, oh, I like to go out to eat, or I like to take trips, or I like to have a nice car. Just don't. Do all of them all the time.
And don't let the people around you like bully you into being like, well, why don't you have this thing that I have? Like, I have a boat. Why don't you have a boat? And like, because I think too, there's also something that you brought up where it's like, I do this as well, where I wanted to build a nuclear family. I was like, I want this family. I want this type of life. I want. So like, I also bought a house with an ex and then we split up, and then that the people listening have heard the whole saga. But so that was, I think for me also trying to be like, no, I have a family now. I have this house. I have a family. I'm good. Right. I'm doing the American dream. I'm doing it. Like, I've made it. I've crawled out from whatever. And now I have, I did it. And then losing the house because I had put all my ideals into it like that. And because I was like, now I'll have safety. Losing the house was like so much more emotionally devastating because it was like I lost it in a breakup. And so I'm like, well, I should have put that money in like a retirement account. But it's like, how could you have known? And also, we're all so broken from trauma that I was like, I felt like this will heal everything if I just do this. Like, not everyone is a robot who understands like money. It was like, you know, there's so many different reasons why we do things or why we.
And you know what's
like,
messed up is like it does solve things for a little while.
Yeah.
When you're when you're in the like, oh, I'm gonna decorate, and you don't realize you're doing it.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious, but it's not when you're doing it. You really, it's exciting, you know, and it's fun and it feels good. And then it's like anything else, there's layers to it where, oh, well, that's not the fun part is like, you know, the property tax or fixing stuff or going through a breakup or simply paying for it. It's like, that's all part of it. It's not just like the idea of comfort. I mean, and to take it a step further, my I did get married and divorced, which was sort of was interesting because I started to have the family as I was losing the house. And then once I was divorced, I'll have these like yearnings and I'm like, oh, that's actually just the idea of being married because I think it will make me feel better. And it's the same thing with the house. I mean, right now I get up and I sit in the same spot every day. I have another room right there that, and I just, I don't really need a lot. And I know not everybody's like that. Some people like to, would like to have six rooms and have a bunch of stuff, but it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because I also, I threw myself into things. That's how I, and that, those are good. I have that. That's a good quality of mine. I would throw myself into things and then, oh, have that adventure. And then, you know, by trial and error, I would realize it. I don't have regrets because I was able to sort of break out of where I came from. And, you know, I'm glad I took the risks and I'm okay. It really does build character, but sometimes it's not fun. And yeah, if you just put your money into a savings account, it just,
put
you
it
can
in the
still
market.
Experience all the pain of life and you can have a little nest egg.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I just didn't even know. I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't have any idea. I didn't know anything about taxes. I didn't know anything. I'm in the place right now where I'm still recovering from the house stuff and also still like jumping in to like, I'm like, no, I'm just going to do it because I don't know what else to do other than
which is a great quality
stuff. It is, but it's also like deeply stressful and like you question all the time like why am I doing this, and even like with art stuff, like my you know, I'm making a movie and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna make this movie and we'll see what happens. And there's part of me wakes up and goes, well, money's not real and it's fine and we all die and it doesn't matter. And the other part of me is like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But like,
and there's like layers, and even that is and how you just described it, like is on point of like, okay, no expectations, but even deeper, it's like, you have to go into your core, and it's really hard with art. And like you're saying, people who consume it and just enjoy it, don't understand the sort of like soul searching of, not to be pretentious, but it's like what it really takes to like dig into that drive and to believe. Like you have to wake up going, I really want to make this movie. And you have to clue into it on kind of a cellular level, because if you're faking it, you won't be able to complete. And you have to do that on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, find out sort of your why and what that passion for doing it that keeps you going. And then the hilarious, like, hey, it's just money, I'm gonna go for it. But underneath that, you've got to like have that thing that keeps you pushing forward. And it's really is, it's very different than just getting a job and taking a paycheck. You're putting yourself on the line.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. I mean, I think hopefully people are starting to realize stuff more that they're getting into entertainment. Or like, I just was recapping a reality show, and I was getting, and after I finished recapping it, I was getting in touch. Some of the people in the show were getting in touch with me saying they like my recaps, and I was talking to them and stuff. And I'm like, so I feel like a grandma, but I'm like, you know, I'm like, hey, so you guys are really getting a lot of attention right now from this show. Like, what do you want to do? You want to do brand deals? You want to do influencers? Now is the time. If you have merch, release it now. I'm like, where's your money? Is it in a 401k? Do you have merch from things you said on the show? Do you have reels ready? Like, a couple of them were like, we want to launch a podcast. I'm like, literally, first episode needs to go up immediately after the finale. If you have any sort of success at all, start your fucking thing now.
That's really hard. Do you think you would have been ready to make a movie then?
Maybe No, definitely not. It would have been bad. What do you do like differently now for like getting jobs? Because I know stand-up is its own thing.
It is its own thing, and it has become its own thing. Stand-up has become an amazing place where I can mine within myself and, putting stuff on stage, you get that immediate feedback. And so that's been very like therapeutic, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very lucky that I get to sort of practice my craft and figure myself out at the same time. And I really don't have any at this point other than really trying to dig into who you are, what you want, and what that expression is, because that's really all you have. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's one. And then two is what this podcast is about and what is saving money.
Yeah.
Be true to yourself artistically, but you've got to also be able to just support yourself and don't choose that middle path of like, if you make a bunch of money and you just start buying stuff, like that's a real trap.
Yeah.
And I think it's really hard to like, yes, enjoy yourself, but it's having that, it's boring, but it's having a balance and knowing something you touched on earlier of, not knowing and sort of like acting out of a trauma response or out of a,
resentment. You know,
for me at the time, I'm like, oh, this will be fun. And I have the money. Well, what's underneath that is you're trying to fill this void and fill this hole. And you're putting the joy onto it like, ooh, sparkly things. But it's like, okay, but what are you really doing?
Yeah.
Where's the you in that? Where's the thing that drove you to be an artist in the first place? You know, and in your case, it's like, okay, what are the things that you write about? What are the things that you want to talk about? And it can be very quiet and some days very hard and almost feel mundane when you're doing a creative process, or you get that zing of like, oh, I had that idea. Okay, now I'm done. Like the creative process in itself can be hard because you have to like write the middle and you have to write the end. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you come up with a good idea, but then you're like, I gotta finish it and then like film it or whatever the thing is. But it's like respecting all the parts of your craft and putting yourself out there and just knowing that that's sometimes you'll make a lot of money. Sometimes you'll make none. Sometimes you'll even out, but to always be true to that, because that's the fire that you can always replenish. And the money is like you're saying, you gotta be ready. You know, that cliche of like, you have to be ready when the opportunity presents itself. Cause if you've done that work on your vision, then you're going to be more ready to make your thing when and if it hits. Mm-hmm. But it's also like no expectations, no guarantees. Mm-hmm. And if you get it, yeah.
Yeah. Put
at least half of that money away.
Put your money away. And get like a very, I always think about like celebrities that are like, oh, I just have my one. Like there's a guy who lives next door to me who's a very famous actor. And he lives in an apartment that he's lived in this whole time. It's the same apartment. And he has a Porsche, but other than that, he doesn't like have anything. And I'm like, why am I not you? Brilliant genius.
So smart. So smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in touch with what's really making him happy. Looks like you and I both tried to buy a house.
Yep. Listen, there's people, remember that whole thing where Timothée Chalamet was in Coach and people were like, why is he in Coach? And I think like the girl was like asking him sitting next to him and he was just like, well, I don't know. That's why not? It's cheaper.
Yeah.
This was like during Call Me By Your Name. But yeah, I mean, you know, now he has Dune money, but
yeah, it's cheaper for me too.
But I hope he's saving it. All the time, I feel very nervous, especially with professional athletes too. For some reason, I have such a nervous response where I see them like buying a bunch of stuff and I'm like, do they have a good accountant? Is somebody telling them that their career ends at 50 or 40? You know what I mean? Like, oh my God.
Yeah. You're like, hello, have you looked into what your business manager is actually doing? Do you look at the books from time to time?
Terrified. I'm like, even like my Allison, the girl I do my show with, we see like Tina Fey doing the MasterCard commercials. And we're like, if we could do MasterCard commercials and never work again, except doing those commercials, we would do it.
Hey, why is Sarah Jessica Parker doing like the gambling, like a Candy Crush commercial or something?
I'm like, you know what? They get it, girl. That's probably paying for your seventh boat. I hope it's not paying for your seventh boat. I hope it's paying for your children to go to college. Well, do you have any parting wisdom or advice that you'd like to leave for my largely millennial and Gen Z fan base?
Listen, millennial and Gen Z fan base, I hope you enjoyed this podcast from an older
former... Just Gen X. You're Gen X. That's not
thank
even
you
that.
No, I am Gen X, but you know, I hope that I feel like I'm from a different time because my son is 15 and like I feel like TV is like doesn't even really exist anymore. Parting words, just you know, party on. I don't know.
Put money in an account somewhere.
That's it.
I know.
Like, I'm from a time where we're like, don't sell out. Don't look at me. But am I making money? Like, it's totally that. And I feel like there's a different paradigm now where it's like, lead with putting yourself out there. But I guess it would be, what do you really want? And why are you putting yourself out there? What are your desires? What are you creating? Why does it have meaning to you? And just dig into that and weather that and be a creative person, but know that it's that stuff is fleeting and keep making stuff.
And don't, I think my whole thing was comparison, and you're right. Like looking for joy and fulfillment in holes in my life and childhood through using the money to be like, ha, I didn't have the same money as this 16-year-old girl that I was friends with when I was 16 who got a nose job. Joke's on you. I now have a nice apartment. It's like, who cares? Stop.
It's really tricky, though, because as you're talking, it's like, There's a certain amount of you have to go through it to know it. But please, exactly. If you can hear us, know that. And also, you guys, I feel like you have it worse because you are yourself and because there is an authentic. So it gets blurred, you know, It gets blurred because you're like, wait, is that me? Because I'm putting it all out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very big difference I didn't think about.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it. Where can people find you and your book and more about you and all of that?
Thank you for having me. I really, really enjoyed spending this time with you. And again, I apologize for coming in so cold.
No, this is good. The fans need to hear. They, you know, I think some of them don't really know the whole thing. So,
okay, good. Yeah, I want you to tell me all your stories. I'm going to have to go back and listen. You can find me at Marylyn Rice Cub, MarylynRajskub on Instagram. I'm trying to get better on TikTok, but Instagram is usually the one I kind of pay attention to what's going on.
And what's your book called?
The book is called Famish, My Life at the Edge of Stardom. And it's in my link tree on my Instagram, on my website. But you can Google Famish, the book, and it's got a lot of fun Hollywood stories and personal stories.
Thank you.
So happy to meet you and see you. Thank you so much.
Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond M. Print Productions, edited by Diane King, post-production sound by Coco Lorenz, and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.